This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM, your nonprofit community radio station, online at prp.fm. And brought to you by KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm. Also brought to you by X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM, online at xray.fm. This is the Student Hour.
So, James, I bet you didn't know how dramatic history can be at times.
Oh, is this how we're starting it off?
I think this is how we should start it off, you know?
Just like a fun little jump into like, oh, well, I bet you didn't like a little historical point. All right. Well,
yeah. Let's start off. My name's Joe Anderson, KBPS class of 2024.
My name is James, and I'm also senior class of 2024.
Now, as seniors, we're also taking advanced placement government, and we learned a bit about something today that I thought was a bit interesting in government. I feel like, you know, honestly, I feel like if we taught history, like it was some sort of like drama show, I think that would be so much fun.
I think that'd be awesome.
I'd be honestly so engaged. Like,
I'd be so in there. Like, I feel like there's so much more driving me to be like interested if it was in that kind of format. You know?
Like, you will not believe what James Madison did.
Or, oh my God.
He had
Did you hear about like Thomas Jefferson?
Oh my God. The men are beefing.
I feel like that'd be pretty entertaining.
That would be so funny. But today we do have a historical situation with it's pretty dramatic. Pretty dramatic. So
yeah, I'd say it was pretty dramatic indeed.
I think it's one of the more dramatic things we've learned about in this class. But let's jump right into it.
Dramatic and petty.
Definitely petty. Like, but let's be real. Like, I'm really petty too. So if I was in this position, I'd probably be doing the same thing. But Marbury versus Madison, Supreme Court case in 1803.
And I'm sure that many of you are thinking, Madison. I recognize that name.
Madison.
Perhaps talking about
James Madison,
a little former president of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Madison. So this was a pretty interesting case. Joe, did you want to kind of give some background information?
Yeah, sure. I can read it off.
Give us the facts.
So Thomas Jefferson, this is way back in ye olden days of 1800. Thomas Jefferson won the 1800 presidential election. And the incumbent, what's his name? J.A. That's how I
abbreviate it.
John Adams. Those are also my initials too. John Adams was the incumbent, right? And during the lame duck period, you know, that's the period after, you know, between an election and the next president's inauguration, where you're sort of just like, what now?
You're already out, basically. So you're just like, okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like,
it's like a little limbo almost.
Yeah, it's like when you've turned all your assignments in, like right before the grading period, and you've got like a day or two where you're just not doing anything.
Yeah.
During this lame duck period, John Adams was like, okay, well, shoot, you know, we just lost this election, so now I got to see if I can keep an influence beyond, you know. So federal judges, they serve for their entire life. So we thought, you know, let's just appoint a bunch of federal judges real quick. And then they'll keep, because, you know, they're aligned with my party's values, and they'll keep our influence far beyond my presidency. So that's what he did. He appointed a lot of federal judges, a lot. And, you know, these came out like so last minute. Now, of course, federal judges do have to be confirmed by the Senate, and they did get confirmed by the Senate. And he had the Secretary of State delivering all of these letters, you know, last minute. Because when you get appointed as a judge, you know, you got to get the letter that says, hey, you got the job.
And just be like, hey, you know, take my word for it. Take my word for it. I did actually get, I am a judge.
So they need to get the signed letter from the president that has like all the, your name on it. You got approved by the Senate.
Congrats. And since this was the 1800 election, you know.
Yeah, email wasn't really a thing.
They weren't really that crafty.
Yeah. So John Adams had his Secretary of State
mailing out these letters.
Yeah, sending these letters out. Yeah.
Just to confirm. I mean, like a madman. I mean, he was just sending a lot of these.
Yeah.
John Adams did get a lot of people in there, a lot of judges in there.
Now, here's where it gets dramatic. These were like 11th hour proceedings, you know. What's the lame duck period? Only like what? It's like only 3 months, you know. Mm-hmm. Elections in November, got November, December, then inauguration on January 20th. Yeah. So they were really sending these letters out last notice because they didn't have that much time to get it Senate approved and everything. So they sent those letters out on the 11th hour. And John Adams said to the Secretary of State, you know, deliver these as fast as possible, as long as it's before midnight, before, you know, before the new president comes in and takes over. So the Secretary of State was going as fast as he could. He was mailing everything out. He was sending it along. But he couldn't get to everyone, you know. So you reach midnight, presidency flips over. It's not the John Adams presidency anymore. Now it is Thomas Jefferson. And now Jefferson's like, hold on. Because there are still like three or so letters that weren't delivered, right? And then Thomas Jefferson says to his Secretary of State, why don't you pump the brakes a little bit on those letters?
Why don't you slow your roll?
Exactly. So those letters never made it to the judges who got appointed. So those people were, the judges to be appointed were confirmed by the Senate. They were appointed by the president and everything.
They were practically just ready to go.
They were ready to go. They had everything except their commissions. The letter from the president that says, hey, you're in. And Thomas Jefferson stopped that out.
Yeah.
He said, nope. No more. And
well, as it turns out, one of the people that didn't receive those commissions, what was his name again?
Marbury. Not a very happy camper, which to be fair, I would not be either.
Are you kidding me? I'd be incredibly upset.
Yeah. So that's like a lifetime.
Yeah. He was pretty upset for good reason. And so
he sued.
Yeah.
He sued. So he asked the Supreme Court. He said, hey, Supreme Court, this doesn't seem right. Can you like order the president to give me my letter so I can be a judge? Now, there was an act passed in 1789, not 1989, the Taylor Swift album. That tripped me up a little when I was reading it out loud earlier. But in 1789, a writ of what, mandatus or something? Some old word that I can't really
pronounce. I would not be the person to ask on that one, unfortunately.
I can't really pronounce words in the first place. So when you put all those like old Latin or whatever words up, it's a whole different ballgame. But basically, Congress in 1789 had granted the Supreme Court the power to issue this writ, which basically ordered the president to do this, that. You know, in this case, it would be to send those commissions along to Mr. Marbury and get him in as a judge. Now, so this was a case before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was thinking, okay. Now, this was definitely a long time ago in a very early stage for the Supreme Court. You know, this is this is just stuff we learned a few hours ago. So please do excuse us if we aren't very up mm-hmm. on the facts. But,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, sidetrack here. We're going to go on a little tangent. Sorry, everyone. But, you know, what's one of the most effective ways to learn? To teach, actually. So
is that true?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think there's this poster in one of our radio classrooms. If you don't understand it enough to explain it simply to a large audience, then you don't understand it well enough. So only remember so much if you hear the lesson.
Right.
Remember a bit more if you write it down. Remember a bit more if you talk about it to yourself or something. And you remember a lot of it if you like vocalize and like talk to people about it and its impact. So we're providing you with some juicy historical drama and us with some great memorization for the AP exam, which is something I'm a little nervous about.
Oh, definitely something I'm a little nervous about too. I mean, you know, taking the last two AP tests, I think I took like an AP language arts test and then like an AP art history test, I can say from personal experience, they are as stressful as they seem, you know, not to put any stress on anyone who's going to be doing those in the future, but you definitely want to study for those and get ready. You know, don't underestimate them.
Which is what we're doing here. So back to the drama at hand, the hot, they tossed all the tea into the harbor right, around this time, right. So I can't really say the hot tea, but you know what we're getting at. So there were three main questions in front of the Supreme Court. First was, does Marbury have the right to receive these commissions? Can Marbury, like legally speaking, have the authority to sue for these in court? And does the Supreme Court have the authority to actually force these commissions to Marbury?
And now let's just break it down step by step. Yeah. So
let's start out real quick. The Supreme Court was
they were a joke.
They were young.
No one was really taking them seriously. They were the young bucks, you know?
Exactly. They were so one of their things was they don't want to, you know, be like, Mr. President, you are ordered to do this. And the president be like,
well, actually, am I ordered to do this? You know, like
I'm choosing to ignore the verdict.
And then it's like, well, what are we going to do?
You know? Exactly. Like, what's the Supreme Court? Like, you and what army? Like,
yeah,
in the words of our history teacher who just said exactly this like 4 hours ago. So that was something. Or, you know, this was definitely also like a pretty big issue. So if the Supreme Court ordered the president, you know, they'd be ignored. They lose their credibility.
And then the option two is they just don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And then they look kind of like a joke and they have.
And they lose their credibility.
Yeah.
So credibility. A no-win situation for the Supreme Court. So they're sort of thinking, you know.
How do we come out solving everyone's problem but still being on top?
Yeah. Not so much being on top, but just not being on the bottom.
I guess not being on the
bottom. Because, you know, either way, they're going to like, you know, between those two options, don't take the case or take the case and or rule against the president, you know, you're not going to look good. So let's go question by question, James. You want to break it down?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we have question one, you know, what did Marbury have the right to receive his commissions? And obviously, you know, the court probably had some little debate with it, and then they decided yes.
Yeah. So James is struggling to read my handwriting right now. My chicken scratch notes.
No worries.
But in the end, the Supreme Court ruled 5-0. So they were unanimous in this, but it was a kind of thing. There were some asterisks attached to it. So they ruled, yeah, he does have the right to receive those commissions.
And so he did.
Period.
But we get on to question two, and it was, can he sue for those commissions that he didn't receive, you know, in the Supreme Court? And they were obviously said, yes.
Yeah.
It's the U.S. You can sue for anything.
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, I feel like that's probably a big motto for the U.S. It's the U.S. You can sue for literally anything.
Exactly. Come to the U.S., pay our taxes, sue left and right.
Exactly.
But then question three is where we get into this little, you know, this weird area.
A little bit of a gray area, you can almost
Does the Supreme Court have the authority to force these commissions to be given to Marbury? Now, this is where the Supreme Court could have lost their credibility. So here, they decided no. So the Supreme Court saved their own skin here. They decided no because that act that we talked a little bit about in 1789, where they were allegedly given the authority to, you know, give these orders out, the Supreme Court actually found that act unconstitutional because according to the Constitution, Article 3 really clearly set out things about the Supreme Court and set out how they operate or just, you know, about the Supreme Court. And the lower courts were left to Congress, but the Supreme Court was defined in Article 3, whereas the lower courts were not. So the Supreme Court ruled that Congress did not have this authority to modify how the Supreme Court can work, to like give them this power, to take away these powers. Because the difference between that is Congress passing, you know, simple law with a, you know, 51 vote majority in the Senate or whatever, just a simple majority, versus Congress making that constitutional amendment to fundamentally change how the Supreme Court works. So Supreme Court said that act wasn't constitutional to give us that power to make these orders, so we can't order the president to give these commissions out. So, you know, at the end of the day, the president was happy because he didn't get, you know, sort of ordered by the Supreme Court to do something he didn't want to do, which was totally petty, might I just say.
And Marbury, he was happy too.
Marbury was happy. You know, he got his little vindication. He was like, everyone, they said I was the judge. So
I am a judge in spirit.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the same time, the Supreme Court, by saying that they didn't have that authority, they created this thing called judicial review. Where now this out of all the places, this is where I need to work on the most.
I would definitely agree with this too.
So what's judicial review, James?
See, you just put me in the hot seat. This is exactly what I didn't want. But I guess judicial review, would it just be kind of like the power to just, well, that the judiciary branch has to just kind of look over anything and say whether it's right or wrong? I mean,
well, judicial review, let's...
Because I know we were also reading Federalist 78?
Yeah.
Where Alexander Hamilton said, like, basically, judiciary branch, it sucks. Like, they have no power. The executive branch has, as he said, the sword.
Enforce the laws.
Right. And then the legislative branch had the purse to control the money, the income, you know. They could turn off the wealth that goes to the president, essentially, the funding to the president at any point. What does the judiciary branch have? And I guess what he kind of decided on was like, I can't remember. Do you remember exactly what his words were for like what he like in terms of like what kind of like item they have?
Oh, they had their ability to like to interpret.
Just, yeah, to interpret the laws and like
the judge them or whatever.
I mean, that's what the judiciary does. So
right.
Judicial review.
You know, I think he kind of missed out on an opportunity there. He should have said, and the judiciary and has hammer. The gavel. Yeah,
the big
gavel.
Hammer. You know, the executive's got the sword. The Congress has got the purse.
And the judiciary branch has the gavel. That would have been
awesome. Yeah, the hammer. That would have been, you know, you totally could have gone a different way with that. But
he went kind of lame with it, but you know, whatever. You know, not going
to
judge him.
Not going to, yeah, exactly. He has his own play. We don't. So who are we to talk
exactly
about him like that? But judicial review, generally speaking, gives the power to the courts of a country to examine, you know, the actions of the legislative or executive branch to make sure they're, you know, consistent with mm-hmm. the Constitution. How we got from not having the authority to, you know, order the president around like that to judicial review, really, I don't really understand that. So if you do, give us a call at KBPS 503-916-5101. Tell us what that means, because honestly, like, you know, that could really help us for a study for this thing.
You know?
You were pretty close, yeah. And, you know, while you're at it calling in, you know, suggest, request some music, yeah.
Request some songs, you know?
Yeah, we'll put your voice on the air and play the songs. Yeah.
Right now, if you're feeling some Christmas music, you know, in the season, in the spirit of
season. We got some great holiday tunes. So, yeah, give us a call again, 503-916-5101. Now, that was a bit about the Supreme Court, which, like, that was... I didn't know they were that petty back then.
I know. It's kind of funny to think about that. Like they were just that. What's his name? Was it Jefferson? He was just like, no, you just
hold
off on sending those letters. Why don't you? You know.
Yeah.
And I think like, that's just a funny little concept.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because you know we sort of perceive the government as moving like crazy slow, and we have this story about you know like Secretary of State on the 11th hour, the 11:59 p.m. Just, you know trying to send these letters out.
He's just like licking the seals closed. He's stamping them all.
Yeah, he's probably got a splinter like, on his tongue.
He's like, oh my god,
paper cut. Yeah.
And then right at that last second, he's like, I can't send all these out. Someone's going to be mad.
Yeah. But, you know, interestingly, as we talk about the Supreme Court, a rather contentious organization these days, wasn't it interesting? We also spoke a bit about that Oklahoma ruling. Right.
That actually, to me, was very, very interesting. And so if you didn't know what this was in particular, there was a Native American man in Oklahoma, and I can't remember the particular town he was in, but
Tulsa.
He was in Tulsa, and he killed a man, and he was brought to court.
Allegedly, he was charged with murder.
He was charged with murder.
Come on, we're a news organization. We gotta
bring you just the facts of what we have. Anyways, so he allegedly killed a man. He was charged with murder in a federal court, and he brought that to the Supreme Court, he appealed to the Supreme Court, saying, I was on Native land. You can't charge me.
Reservations, the laws, they're different.
And
it's a confusing thing, but.
And their response was, no, you weren't. You were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah,
that's
and
not Native.
He said, well, hold on a second. And he brought to the attention this treaty that was implemented when, I believe it was, Andrew Jackson. That's his name. Andrew Jackson, when he implemented the Trail of Tears, moving all of the Native Americans from Florida over to Oklahoma, he said, oh, you can have this huge amount of land at basically the entirety of Oklahoma.
Because way back when, Oklahoma was this little desert, like, who wants to go to Oklahoma?
And then they were like, well, we're expanding westward. Why don't we take that back?
Yeah.
But this treaty that they gave them basically said,
no takesies back.
Oklahoma's yours forever, you know?
Yeah.
Have a blast there. And so now the Supreme Court was looking at it, and the judges actually ruled in his favor. I'm not entirely sure what the vote was, like, if it was whether, like, it was like, you know, 5-4 or something. But what was really interesting was a judge who's usually considered to be quite conservative. Do you remember which one it was?
I think it was Gorsuch.
It was Gorsuch, wasn't, because I remember it wasn't Kavanaugh, obviously. But he voted in favor of it just because of the facts, because he looks directly just only at the documents that are laid out on the table, just the facts. And he said, well, they had this binding agreement.
They had this treaty, and there's nothing that,
and so,
you know,
basically what stands now is they're saying that Oklahoma, the entirety of Oklahoma essentially, is all native land. So what are you going to do about that? You know, like, if that is native land, it has really big implications for obviously not only the Native Americans living there and the reservations that are there, but for the people who have also been living there that aren't Native American, you know, the people who in Tulsa, you know, the people in just these towns everywhere. So, and you're kind of right now just trying to figure out, where do we go from here now that it's kind of been confirmed that this is all native land?
Now, yeah. So Neil Gorsuch, a Trump appointee, looks like he sided with the other four Democratic appointees, those who were appointed by Democratic presidents, on the Supreme Court. He sided with them. And he said, yeah, this is what the treaty says. And, you know, going back to that, you know, I think if we looked at a map, it would be like most of Oklahoma that was covered under this treaty, minus maybe the panhandle.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Does anyone even live in the panhandle? Well, of course someone lives there, but like.
But like probably like four people.
Like, so what's, so yeah.
Four people out of the 40 that even live in Oklahoma. No offense if you live in Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean.
But like, what is their population there?
Yeah. Is it Oklahoma pretty like landlocked or something?
That, I mean, it's yeah, like the Midwest, how many people obviously live in Oklahoma? Real small, but like, you know. I know that it's not part
like
of the Midwest.
4 million, looks like. Yeah, 4 million. Isn't that like the same population of Oregon?
Yeah.
I think Oregon's like a little lower, maybe like 3 or 4, maybe 5.
No, Oregon, Portland is like what, like 700,000 or something?
Yeah, Portland metro area is pretty big. But yeah, we're besides them. We're getting side.
Yeah, sorry. I got it.
But
sorry.
That was, that would, if Oklahoma was reduced to the panhandle, you know, and the rest of it was a reservation.
Pretty hard.
Like, that would be like,
I mean, I think that'd be really interesting to see how that just happens in society, because I know that there's I don't know which tribes reside currently in Oklahoma.
But we could also, you know, what would this mean for things like the Senate, for things like the Electoral College?
Because they don't really have it jurisdiction would mean, over that.
Well, it would mean that they would have like. It would mean that they would have like right, these crazy imbalances in the way that votes are, you know, tabulated. So in the Senate, you know, it's not equal per population. So, you know, of course, some Senate votes will matter more than others when you have two senators for all the whatever, like 20 million or however many people in California, and then two senators for the 700,000 people in Vermont or whatever.
Right.
It's just not equal. The House of Representatives will always be fine, but then you go to the Electoral College, where if you're a voter in, you know, a less populated state, your vote will effectively matter more because it'll count towards, you know, the way those votes are counted a bit more, because there's about those two extra Electoral College votes in there. Now, again, definitely not an expert. Definitely not good at expressing my thoughts on the matter. Mm-hmm. But we just thought this was interesting and wanted to do a little bit of talking about it. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you can tell us a bit more what you think.
Yeah, maybe this. If you actually have some more input on the Oklahoma Native land thing.
Yeah, we're curious.
I'd love to hear about more.
Like, how I wonder how they're going to figure that out, because that is really interesting. But yeah, if you have anything to say, again, call us 503-916-5101. That'll send you to voicemail and you can leave a message. Thanks for listening. Once again, my name's Joe.
My name's James.
Thanks for tuning in.
This is the Student Hour. Student Voices for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Now aired on Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM and PRP.FM, on KBOO 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM, and on X-Ray, KXRY 107.1 FM, 91.1 FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime. Baby, just how Mother Nature made you. Even rain is better with you. Got the power of a goddess, but you're always being modest. And if I'm being honest, I got nothing on you, it's true. Don't know what I've done, but it must be something right. Got an angel by my side as the world keeps flying by. Love it when we're vibing, chasing that horizon. Baby, let your soul shine brighter than the summertime.
My name is Nate Baldwin from AM 1450 KBPS. Let me tell you about Benson's Bowling Club. I'm very excited about it this year. It just started a couple of weeks ago. Every Thursday we go down to the Kingpins next to Marshall Campus and bowl. It's a lot of fun, and personally I've improved a lot as a bowler when I did it last year. And I'm excited to improve even more this year. Last year I actually competed with a team of bowlers that was a lot of fun, and the girls team actually made it all the way to the state championship. They did really well, and it was the first time in the school's history that the girls bowling team made it that far, so that was really exciting. As a competitive bowler, I'm really motivated to do well this year because the best teams can actually win scholarship money, so it's a really great opportunity for students who love bowling. I went out and talked to a few members of Bowling Club to see what they have to say.
Yeah, I'm in Bowling Club. Bowling Club's great.
Yeah, so why'd you choose to join Bowling Club?
I chose to join Bowling Club for a couple of reasons, mainly that bowling is fun and interesting. Also that Jacob, who is my radio teacher, heads it, and Jacob's just a great person overall. And thirdly, probably because you can actually, if you go into tournaments, you can win scholarship money. And winning scholarship money by doing fun things sounds, well, fun.
So, were you into bowling like before you joined, or did you just think it would be fun to try out?
A little bit before. I had done a little bit of bowling and it was fun, but I didn't really do it as a regular thing. And doing it as a regular thing sounded like something I'd want to do. So I did it.
What would you say is your favorite part about bowling club?
Probably the like camaraderie, you know, like everyone's, it's really, you're a team. It's kind of like you're a family, and that's really the energy that Patterson gives as the head coach. Yeah. And it's really fun because everyone there wants to be there. Like in class, some people are just lame, but at bowling club, you have to actually choose to be there. So everyone's really hyped and it's really fun.
Definitely agree with that. All right. Have you learned any tips or tricks to improve your bowling?
Yes, actually. Curving the ball, hooking the ball, as it's called in bowling lingo, is something that I've been learning how to do and trying to do and practicing. And there's many ways to do it. Basically, hooking the ball means that you add spin to it so that when it goes down, it goes at an angle. And the reason you want to do this is because if you're bowling straight, just straight line, the amount of space to get a strike, the best thing you can get in bowling is like an inch. But if you curve it, that space suddenly widens because the pins are put in a diagonal formation. So it becomes like 6 inches. It's like six, you get six times better at bowling a strike just from bowling it curved, bowling it hooking the ball. And the way I do it is I have it in my hand and then I turn my hand up like palm kind of facing me. And then I rotate my hand so that it kind of gets a lot of spin. And that's the tips and tricks from Dane, the bowler man.
There's also that new coach from David Douglas that just...
We recently got a new coach, kind of like two new coaches. But so that's pretty fun. And we're getting some more instruction. So if there was any time to join bowling, every time's the time to join bowling. This is the time.
This is the time.
You got to join.
Two great
if you
coaches.
Go to Benson. Actually, we have some David Douglas kids, so even if you don't go to Benson, if you're a high schooler, want to do some bowling, join us. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. So you're planning to bowl competitively this year, right?
I am, actually, because last year I didn't, and I was mainly bowling for fun, but now I feel like I'm good enough that I could actually contribute to the team, because you do have to pay a fee to enter, and I don't want to like kind of have money wasted on me if I know there's 0% chance that I'm going to go and that I would... Or like that I could actually get through it and do well. So like, but now I feel like I'm good enough that I can do that and that I have a chance and that I can actually be helpful. So yes, I am going to competitive this year.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being interviewed.
Of course, only on the Student Hour.
So I'm here with Virginia.
Hello.
So you're in bowling club. Why'd you choose to join bowling club?
I mean, I mainly chose bowling club because I don't know, bowling is just fun.
Were you bowling like before you joined, or did you just think it would be fun to try out?
No, I just thought that it would be fun to try in.
What would you say is your favorite part about bowling club?
I guess that my favorite part is just like, I get a little bit of physical activity, if you could call it that. And I don't know, I feel like it helps me like ease stress, just like throwing balls, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So last year you went with the girls team, you went to the state championship. What was that like?
I mean, it was pretty exciting because no other like girls teams had been able to do that before.
Yeah, it was the first time in school's history. How many teams were there, would you say?
I don't know, there are a couple. There are like at least, if we're speaking only about like girls teams, at least like maybe around 10 teams, I believe. I can't remember very well.
Are there a lot of people spectating? I don't know.
I think there was like mainly like the players' families, but yeah, there were a lot of people.
How well did you do?
I mean, I think you know that thing that happens where you start off good, then you do bad, and then you do good again. That's sort of how it went. And we didn't finish off too strong.
But yeah, I mean, you still made it to state, which is pretty impressive for it.
Yes.
Have you learned any tips or tricks to like improve your bowling in general?
I mean, I guess that yesterday when the David Douglas instructor was there, she like told me how to position myself a little bit differently and like I had to do something with my legs, and that really helped. It like really helped aiming a lot, but still got a long way to go.
Yeah, that coach seemed really good. It's really good that we're sort of like teaming up with them. And so you're bowling competitively again this year, right? excited to hopefully get to state again, maybe.
Hopefully. The people from David Douglas are pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good last year, so that'll probably help us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here, for being interviewed.
So yeah, overall, I'm really excited for bowling this year. I'm really grateful for Jacob as our bowling coach. He's a great coach. I've learned a lot from him. And I'm really grateful for Kingpins for allowing this club to happen. It was a lot of fun last year. It's going to be a lot of fun this year. Again, my name is Nate Baldwin from AM 1450 KBPS. Thanks for listening to the Student Hour on KBPS, PRP, and KBOO.
You're listening to the Student Hour, student voices from Portland for Portland, powered by AM 1450 KBPS. Please support our partners at PRP.FM, KBOO.FM, and X-Ray.FM.
Hey, it's Coy with KBPS, and I'm here with
Nate.
And today, me and Nathan are going to be talking about some cars.
Yep.
Believe it or not.
Confirmed.
Yep. So, Nathan is a Chevy guy. Yeah. Specifically, what were you saying?
Probably like mid-50s, early 60s.
Huh, those are old. And yeah. He's saying he drags them and does, you know, speed, what?
Quarter miles. Yeah.
Well, is there anything more than a quarter mile? Is it like half mile or?
I mean, you can do half mile, but there's like special tracks for that. Drag strips are like quarter mile limited.
Okay.
But yeah.
I don't know. I don't drag cars. So.
you should start.
But I don't have anything to drag.
Guess something, bro.
I don't have anything to drag. Like, I'm not dragging the Teggy. Can't drag the WRX. Can't drag the Audi. Mostly because it doesn't work, but you know.
What if it? Sell the Subaru.
What?
Get a drag car.
I want to. Dude, how am I going to daily a drag car?
No, don't daily it. Just daily the Integra.
I can't. It doesn't work.
Well, make it work, bro. It just breaks.
I'm
right?
Working on it. Well, it needs a master cylinder, and I'm like really lazy and I don't want to do it. So I'm deciphering if I want to pay someone to do it or just do it myself.
Hmm.
Like I said, I'm lazy and I don't want
to
do it.
Do you just have to like replace the master cylinder or is it like brake lines on it too?
Well, after so pretty much, it's kind of, but master cylinders are kind of a bra moment. I have to take off the reservoir on top because I didn't get that. So I have to keep that, make sure I don't break it, or I'm going to have to buy a new one. And then I have the actual master cylinder itself. You unbolt that from the brake booster, and then I bolt a new one into the brake booster. And then I have to bleed it, which I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of
and then there's lines on there that all have to go on there and have to bleed the brakes again. It's just like all the stuff I don't want to do. I'd rather just take it to a shop and make them do it because I'm lazy. Yeah. And I'm getting kind of sick of the car just not working ever. Also, maybe depending on if that doesn't even work, I could see if maybe it's like, oh, well, actually, you're like, for example, maybe like the brake lines on the underneath, like the metal ones are rotting or something, which I doubt, but I don't know. So it could be that. You feel me?
What's the move after winter's done? You think you're going to sell the Subaru?
Yeah, I'm selling the Subaru after winter.
What do you want? After?
I don't know. I was thinking about getting a truck. Like, but I'll probably end up buying something stupid. I might buy, like, if I find an S2000 for a good price, I might buy that. Or a Porsche, maybe.
Or a Boxster.
Or a Vet. Not a Boxster. I don't know. Probably a Vet or a S2K. If I can find a good one. Or, obviously, like, a truck.
What, like, something old, like a C10 or, like, newer?
Probably, like, a 4x4. Like, I want to, like, lift, like a Cat Eye or something.
Oh, yeah. Those are, like, super clean, done right.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Kind of just depends on what I want to get into.
Well, do you want to get, like, a diesel Cat Eye or the gas one? Which is, like, it's like a, I don't know.
I'd probably get a diesel because they're better at towing.
What are you going to tow, though?
Cars? What else do I tow with it? Well, I mean, I could tow like trailers and stuff too. Like, yeah.
If you get a gas one, you get an LS.
Well, yeah. Why would I get a V? Like, anything?
Cool.
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing like a build. I don't know. It kind of depends.
I think the Vet would be cooler.
Yeah, but C5. I mean, it's like impractical. If you think about it, like, what is it? Well, I'd probably be 18 by the time I sell the Subaru. Like, what is an 18-year-old going to do with a Corvette? Like, I mean, it's kind of just like, that's kind of the hard part. Like, it's a fun car, and I'd love to have one just to mess around with. But it's like, what, other than that, like, I have no reason to own one. because it's not useful for anything. It's an expensive car too, yeah, for insurance, true, and everything. Like, obviously I'm probably gonna get tickets a lot because it's basically a what would you call it, like a cop magnet.
Yeah,
because I mean, it's a teenager driving a nice car. Whoa, what you doing in there, buddy? Yeah, like, yeah, that's the hard, that's why I've been hesitant on buying another Corvette since I had a C4. But I didn't really drive that thing. No. Kind of drove it like twice, and then I just put it in a garage.
It's not shared if you're a grandma.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think she just wanted to have like something for me to work on at her house. Because I don't really go over there that often just because it's kind of out of the way.
Well, she just like want to have you there more. Like,
yeah. Home, I guess. Something like that. Also, I mean,
it's kind of nice.
If we also have like a kind of like, that's like a car that she wanted one of those or something back in the day, so it's kind of like, you know, something that she can post or do photos of or use for photo, yeah, shoots. And then
hope my grandma comes around to buying a new muscle car again.
Yeah, that'd be based. So my brother has a muscle car. Those things are fun, but I don't know if I could ever have one.
Well, she's like, you know, she's got the money for like a Hellcat or like a 5.0.
Nice.
Or the new Camaro is kind of goofy unless you get like a ZL1.
Yeah.
It's like, even if like the SS package is like the good V8, you don't get any like body kit or anything. It still looks like a, like the V6 and the SS are the same kit.
Yeah, they are kind of like a brand moment.
I think the 5th-gen Camaros are really cool, like the Bumblebee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like clean.
Those are the, what, like 2010, right?
Yeah, it was when they killed it off after the Catfish for like a decade.
Yeah, yeah,
like, yeah, we're coming out Camaro again.
Yeah, those ones are cool. Do you know Amir?
Amir.
The kid with the Mercury?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid, he drives a Camaro sometimes as an SS. It's really? Of that gen, I think. It might not be. I don't know, actually. I'm thinking, I don't know. It kind of looks like Bumblebee. It's cool, except it's gray instead of yellow. Yeah. But they're cool. I'd like to get an automatic, though, if I get another car. Driving a dailying a stick kind of sucks.
Damn. So, like, how many stick cars have you had? I know Subaru, Taggy.
Hold on.
What else?
I'm going to have to
whip out the list.
I'm going to have to pull up the list. I don't even remember. Well, it depends. You mean like out of any car I've ever owned or like ones that drove?
I guess like ones you drove a lot or dailies, I guess.
Well, daily wise, the Subaru is the only one. But like, because, you know, I usually daily an automatic.
Yeah.
But manual wise, any manual car I've ever had. I've had the 99 Audi A4 Quattro. That's a manual. The Integra is a manual. Obviously the WRX is a manual. You remember that red Civic?
Yeah.
The EG sedan, that was a manual. The C10 was a 3 on the tree.
That's cool.
I guess that's kind of a manual. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Mustang's a manual.
It's a clutch pedal. I'd count it.
The Subaru, the Forester that I had was a stick. Do you remember that Stance Civic I had?
Mm-hmm.
That was a stick. The Nova was a stick, I think. Might have been a 3 on the tree. I don't know. I never drove it.
It's kind of a bummer if you get like an automatic Nova, because like they're like 3-speed autos. It wasn't good.
I actually really don't know. Like I said, I never drove it. The Ram was a manual. And the SI was a manual. The Porsche was a manual. And the Passat was a manual.
Brought a Passat.
Yeah, Volkswagen. Yeah, all those cars are stick. Most of my cars have been stick. The only autos are the hold on, pull up the list again.
Are your Kias in there?
No, actually, the autos I had were the Beamer, the Civic, like the newer one I had, the Corvette, the Infiniti G35, the Blazer's an auto. The Accord was an auto. That like parts car Civic I had that I was driving for a couple days because it's funny. That was an auto. The Tacoma's an auto, and the 2002 Civic and the E46 was also. Those were both autos. And did I mention the Porsche? Porsche was a stick. I don't know if I did that.
I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't know if the Boxers came with autos.
I don't think they did.
Not a Porsche thing to do.
No. Let's say they're one of the last car companies to... What'd you do to my... Yeah, I'm pretty sure Porsche is one of the last companies that actually have, keep manual cars, because most of them don't give you the option. I think the only car companies that give you an option of a stick is Honda, and, Subaru and stuff like that.
Type R.
Yeah.
Well, Toyota, yeah, the Supra.
I thought the Supra was only autos.
They like just like last year they had a stick option.
Huh, I didn't know that. But the
it's only because the BMW chassis, like the Z4 or whatever, they wanted to give it a stick. So that means the Supra got it too.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that, but I know that the Type R is a stick. You can get the BRZ in a manual. I think you can get the. I don't know if you can get the WRX in a manual anymore.
You like never see it, but any like Charger or Challenger, you can option for it too.
Oh yeah, that's true. You would get a Charger and a stick. I don't know. I don't think fast cars and sticks really mix.
Nah.
I think getting them in an auto is smarter, unless they're like really old, I guess.
Yeah.
Like stuff like you have. I mean, I'm assuming those are sticks, right?
With the drag cars.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Because we do bracket racing, so it's all based on running as close to the time you like dial in at. Huh. So you just want to be like real consistent each pass.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Like the faster we ran is an 850. It's like if it's a race day, we can like dial in at like an 870 or something. And if you run like exactly as an 870, that's like an automatic win. So it's whoever's closest to the time they dialed.
But that's, you know, what's up.
If you go faster, you break out, automatic loss. Yeah, there's like they do heads up racing, but that's like really expensive. That's what all the fast cars do.
We don't
have turbos or nitrous or any of that. It's NA. But it's 600 to the wheels, so you know. We're not slow.
Yeah. Do you even have a Subaru, bro?
Nope. Driven a few Subies.
We're going to do a build your car on here. Which kind of car should we build? It's like anything
2023.
Like build. You want to build a Toyota, a Honda, Subaru, a Chevy, and an Acura. Lexus.
Let's build a new Supra.
Supra?
Yeah.
With one in the parking lot. Okay. Well, this is like stock car.
Dude, sometimes I'll go on Porsche's website and like option out GT3s. See how expensive I can make it.
Dude, same here. Except I'm poor. So we're doing a Porsche or we're doing a Supra? Can I find a Supra? I want to get a GR Corolla, actually. The hatchbacks. Have you seen those?
Do that, yeah.
Oh yeah!
It's like interesting. I saw one of those on the road yesterday.
Dude, same
like
the here. First one I raced it. Anyway, so
you know what I haven't seen yet? Any 400 Zs?
Really?
The new Z? Yeah, I saw one on a trailer.
I've seen a few of them.
Well, I've seen them at like car shows, like nothing like on the road, just normally.
Yeah, the 400 Z is really nice.
Yeah.
I'm building this currently. Oh, you only can get this in two colors?
The new 400 Z, they designed it where if you're only at half RPM, it like won't like show you the whole boost gauge. So it's like like encourages you to like rev it out just so you can have the full like boost. It'll cut it off, you know, like get it up there.
Nice.
So cool. That's what Ferrari does too, just to, you know, make sure you actually drive it.
Who actually even drives a Ferrari, but I don't like Ferrari. I think they're like weird.
No. I mean, like, cool cars, but, like, the whole, like, image of, like, Enzo and stuff, he's kind of, like, mean to people.
Yeah.
I think Lamborghini's based.
Lamborghini is based. You ever had a Lamborghini?
No. I remember in fourth grade, I got, like, the school fair, like, poster of, like, the Lamborghini Veneno.
Yeah.
Went hard.
That's funny. When you're in fourth grade, I was in sixth grade, bro.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What happened to your belt?
What do you mean?
It's all weird. Yeah.
Oh, it's because it's holding my pants up because my button broke.
Oh, I forgot. That's funny.
My button broke. But yeah. Do you even have BRZ, bro? No, I'm fine. But what's your opinion on the new Integra?
I think they should have like saved that name for something actually cooler. Cause you look at it, it'd be like a nice, like accurate, like
looks like a TSX,
like sporty sedan, but it's not like worthy of the Integra badge.
Yeah, it looks like a TSX.
That's like my same opinions on the Mach-E. Like if it wasn't called a Mustang, it'd be like a nice SUV from Ford, you know?
Yeah.
But like they called it the Mustang, so it kind of ruined the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd say Mustangs are terrible. I would never buy one.
No. Nope.
By Honda. They should bring back the S2000.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Imagine they bring back the S2000. That'd probably be garbage, actually.
Yeah, because they just brought back the Prelude. It's like that electric.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid thing.
I'd buy that, lucky.
No, bro. It looks heavy. It's
lewd.
Big.
It's lewd.
It's like a beast now.
It's lewd. You don't even drive your lewds like that? You just Who's texting me?
Who?
Someone's like liking my story 1,000 times.
Got some fans.
You pretty.
Trying to hop on.
2026? That's crazy, dude.
Is that when the Prelude comes out?
Yeah. This thing kind of looks like a the Supra.
Honestly,
looks like a crappy version of the Supra.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's nice.
It's like if you.
I mean, this is the concept. I bet you it's not going to look like this at all.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the new Type R?
Which one?
Like the new one.
2024.
Yeah. I think it looks better in the previous gen. And they got rid of all like the fake vents on it. They didn't do anything, so it's just like
cleaner. Well, it's like the same. They're all, but they're both the same gen. They just did a new gen of it, that's so like true. Basically the same car. Let's see, what are you talking about, the Integra Type S or the Civic Type R?
The Civic Type R.
Oh, I think it's weird that they're a 4-door.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they did. They should have just made it a 2-door. It makes more sense. Because like if you think about it, it's like kind of like a wagon almost.
Yeah, it's got like the really big hatch.
Yeah.
Makes a wagon.
So, do you know my Integra's a hatchback?
Yeah.
I think that's weird.
Yeah.
It's like a coupe. Let's be real here.
I know. But, that's like such a, like a weird qualification, just because like one hinge on a trunk makes it a hatchback.
Yeah.
That's why like it's weird to think about, but a third-gen Camaro is technically a hatchback.
The is that the one that's before the Catfish?
Yeah. The 80s one.
Nice. Have you ever had a catfish?
I've never eaten catfish personally, or on one.
Talk about the Camaro.
You like salmon?
Not really. It's okay.
I like salmon a lot.
Is there salmon Camaro?
No, fish sticks go hard too.
Why are we talking about fish?
I don't know. Just thinking about it.
Do you like fish sticks? Anyway, enough about fish sticks. I'm looking at the catfish Camaro. These things are so ugly. Aren't these really fast though? Don't they have like a...
Yeah, they have the LS.
Don't they have like a 5.2 liter?
Right? Like 5.2, 5.3, something like that. That's an LS, so won't be slow.
Oh, got that LS in it. Anyway, yeah. It's like the Vet. Holy Vet. Poor Vet. Anyway, what were we talking about again? I don't even remember.
Nope. Not a clue.
Okay, let's see on Facebook Marketplace what kind of cool cars got on here. Got a 2004 Acura TL. It's slammed, and it has...
TLs are cool.
Some nice wheels. This thing's probably a hunk of junk. It has spiked lugs. Oh, who does that?
No.
Yuck. Anyways, real talk here. What's your favorite car, Benson?
I have to go with the Suburban.
Oh, yeah!
Second place, though, is
the Supra?
The Subaru Hatch.
What are you talking about, dude? That car's garbage.
Yeah, no, I'm a pretty cool guy
that
owns it.
Whoever kid that owns it is a loser.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hate that kid.
Yeah. That kid is big. But the, dude, the Suburban is so cool. Do you follow that guy on Instagram?
I think so.
Dude, he's been building it for a while. It's really nice. In my opinion, he used to have like a newer Suburban, then he just drives that. Yeah. That thing's like the Frankenstein whip, dude. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's pretty cool, though.
No, if any like 50s or 60s Chevy, it's a body-on-frame car, but the, like, from where, like, dash up, it's, like, interchangeable between Camaros and Novas. Like, the front clip just, like, switches out.
Yeah.
Between all. Nice fart, bro.
Nice. Well, that one's, I think, a 71, right?
Yeah. But I know for sure, like, if you have a 56 Chevy, you can put a Camaro front clip on it and a Nova.
Huh.
It's all...
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have, like, a 56, it was, like... kind of an economy car back then. You put like Nova, for instance, mentioned like clip on it, it'll handle a little better.
Yeah, this thing's a 71.
Oh yeah.
What it used to look like.
Oh my god.
I think he painted it himself. I don't know. It needs body work though, which it don't look like he did. Or it's the body's just getting dented. I've seen a lot of dents in it just from walking by it, but I mean it's not like it's like, oh my gosh. This is like what's like 50 something year old car has dents in it. Whoa, like who cares?
Patina, it's character.
Yeah. That's crazy to think. I was going to say like 40 or 30 years old, but that was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, it's like 52, right?
It's like.
Yeah.
Some of the teachers who were born and that was like on the assembly line.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it probably wasn't that low, was it?
No. That's not stock height.
Hey, some interesting guy just followed me. His name's Guillotine.
That's my father.
Oh, yeah. See your little car here. I didn't know it was a song. I might get copyright. Whoops.
Nah, it's only a few seconds. I should play the video of it revving.
Oh, yeah. Let's
find that.
What's your second favorite car at Benson Polytechnic?
Realistically, like, it probably goes Suburban, and I'm in between on the Supra and the Mercury.
Which one?
The one with the Mustang wheels on it.
Dude, that one. Dude, have you listened to that thing's audio system?
It's, yeah. It's like a nice exhaust on it, too. It's like low-key. Yeah. It just sounds good.
Do you know he used to own that Volvo that's like a piece of junk?
Oh, yeah. That's dude, awesome. I noticed that. As soon as he stopped owning it, it like got really bad.
Because Curtis started driving, and he like sucked at driving or something.
Did he like slam it more? It sounds like the tires are rubbing or something. He has like a flat all the time.
He might have a flat.
It's like 1 degree of turn. It's like...
I don't know. They're probably like speeding it and like driving like... Stupid. Yeah. I mean, they're like juniors.
It's about to be me next year.
What?
It's about to be me next year.
In the fit?
No, yeah. A junior.
In the fit?
Maybe.
Why don't you drive the fit, bro?
I should just commit to the fit.
You should just say get a license.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Get your permit.
I found the video. Based.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of Kool-Aid Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Mr. Aguilar, favorite teacher.
Yeah, I just call him Freddy.
Yeah, I love Freddy.
Like, R.
Like Freddy Fazbear, bro.
Yeah, that's our teacher. R. Say, we should show him the CB.
I wonder if he'd, like, sit passenger, you could, like, rip around the school.
What?
If he would, like, sit passenger in the CB, take him for a little lap.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
He'd probably get pissed.
Nah, that's fine.
Yeah, he's like, hey, watch it. Yeah. Got, like, 60 in the parking lot. Yeah.
You can handbrake and slide to the auto building and drive through the door.
Yeah, drift it, you know, do some donuts.
You think he'd let me take a lime scooter into the auto building during lunch?
I wonder. That'd be interesting.
You wanna try that out?
Yeah. But yeah, we should show him. I want to show him the Integra. It's just yet to be done, which makes me sad. I really want it to be done. But
nah, if you need to do the brakes, either me or your godfather, definitely get him to help. Because it's easier to have somebody in the car, like, pushing on the pedal if you're bleeding them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the only way I do it. I might, like I said, though, I might just be like, suck it up, just take it to a shop to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like broke, too, so it kind of makes it a little difficult as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, if like next, I don't know when the next time I'd even be out at PR, because both of our cars are too loud to run there. If you're ever trying to go, I don't think your Subaru is fast enough that you like need like a jacket or a helmet or anything.
No.
Yeah, so like if you need to just like ask somebody there, you know, the community is really nice.
Yeah. I just want to see how fast it goes.
Yeah, one of my grandpa's friends, he had like a 442 Oldsmobile, which is just like a rebadged Chevelle.
But yeah.
He like LS swapped it and like borrowed a pair of slicks down there and ran a 9, which is like a street car, so it's really good.
Yeah.
Thing's badass.
That's how fast my car is.
Yeah.
Real.
I need a 10-second street car.
Yeah, you got that 10-second car, you know, from a... Fast and Furious.
Yeah. So much torque, it twists the chassis.
Yeah. Yeah, me when I described the Subaru.
Yeah. I think that drag race is kind of... No. No.
Put it on your Christmas tree dance.
Yeah, I think that drag race is kind of, like, dumb, realistically.
Yeah, no.
Because, like...
Fast Furious.
The modern suspension on the Supra and, like, those engines are probably even, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not, like...
Fast car.
Yeah.
It's not the Dukes of Hazzard car. It's not a real car. Dude, I want to put a Dixie horn on my Subaru so bad.
That'd be so cool.
It'd be cool, but then it's like,
a combination of cultures.
Yeah. I don't know. If people know what it is, they might get offended, though, around here.
Well, it's not like you have a whole Confederate flag on. It's just like the song.
Yeah. Well, it's the beginning of it, though. That's like their like little marching song. I don't really want to have the beginning of that on my car.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just a fun little horn sound.
No, it's the beginning of the Land of Dixie song. Anyways, we're going to wrap this up because Nathan has to get back to class.
Yep, I got chemistry, Mr. Fraser.
Can is try. And we'll catch y'all later.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. The Student Hour is produced by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project 99.1 FM KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station online at prp.fm, and KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM and KBOO.fm, and X-Ray KXRY 107.1 FM and 91.1 FM online at xray.fm. And thanks to our listeners like you, this concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. That's kbps.am.